KBOO is currently running a Kickstarter campaign to build a city of media makers. From February 8th to March 9th, you can become a media maker and help spread the word. Just go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter between now and March 9th to join.
Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth.
Help us help you keep Portland weird. Join Contessa de la Luna of the World Famous Confessional for the 6th annual Contessa de la Luna Valentine Spectacular and Fashion Show. We're giving away a $100 cash prize plus live performances by Contessa de la Luna. Get your weird on and bring a date. Advance tickets available at Brown Paper Tickets. All proceeds benefit your community radio station, KBOO. That's Thursday, February 15th, 7 to 9:45 p.m. Feel the love of your other Contessa de la Lunatics. Contessa de la Luna's Valentine Spectacular, Thursday, February 15th at the Clinton Street Theater, 7 p.m.
For decades, KBOO News and Public Affairs has welcomed radical and spirited activists in the Northwest and beyond. KBOO is central to connecting the world to what is happening in Portland and the Northwest. We put the mic in everyone's hands. Help amplify the stories of people in your own backyard, invest in future media makers, and join us on Kickstarter today.
Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Donate to the campaign and share it with your friends. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Radioland. I am Eldridge Cleaver, the former Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio. I want you to listen to and support KBOO because Portland needs it, you need it, and the world needs it. Ubalagani, boing, boing.
Boing, boing. This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Joining me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. America's Harvest Box. That's the latest scam from the Trump administration. It's an attempt to deliver SNAP benefits in the form of actual groceries, which will be of the most basic sort, and that'll prevent anyone from actually enjoying, heaven forfend, any least morsel of what they can get while they're on food relief in the United States. Harvest, America's Harvest Box. And so I would like to ask those who support that sort of thing, how could you do this to your own friends and relatives? How can you do this? It's a punishment, of course. But it's a punishment of everyone who needs food aid, and that includes everyone from teachers to Walmart workers. And I would like to just plain denounce that for what it obviously is. It's angry aggression. It's cruelty. It's American cruelty. And we're used to doing it. We're used to the Republicans getting away with it. And we're used to the Republicans acting as demagogues, whipping us up against each other to go for this sort of thing. But if I say that, then I pretend that Democrats don't go for that sort of thing too, or that they aren't part of the same paradigm. So I have some more questions to ask as well. Regarding the war on Syria, the war on Afghanistan, the continuing war on Iraq. Yeah, we have a war in Iraq. We have mercenaries doing it now, so we get to call it not a war in Iraq, but it is a war on Iraq. How could you do this to innocent people? I'm asking you, America. How can you do this to innocent people? We have war on North Korea. How could you do that? How can you do that? How can you consider doing that to distant, impoverished people who merely want to defend themselves? You know, we hear all these bad things about North Korea all the time. But when you get down to it, the reason they're building nuclear weapons is to keep us away. Don't they have a right to do that? Mass incarceration. The biggest police state in the world by the numbers and by proportions. How can we do this? How can you do this? To the people that you live with, to people of color, to anyone without law your money, how can you do this? Police executions without accountability, how can you do this? How can you do this to each other? How can you do it to people of color? How can we do this to each other? Genocide and segregation on hyper-exploited reservations, how can we do this to the original people? Houselessness amid constant harassment and denial of basic rights, how can the richest nation do this to our own relatives? How can we do this to our own grandma? Die on the sidewalk, grandma. That's what it means to be an American. Restriction of health care by insurance profiteers. We always bring the money first to the richest before anyone can get health care. How can we do this? Why is this okay? Why don't we question it? Another question. I think we need a new cooperative paradigm, one which sees a stranger and rather than fearing that person says, here's someone who adds to my experience. Here's someone who adds to my life, to my prosperity, to my safety. And this can be true, would be true, will be true when we undertake to move towards the revolutionary idea of actually cooperating in society instead of deciding that we're all competitors and that we're all someday going to be billionaires in this huge competition for resources. It's a ridiculous idea. It's impossible. We need to throw it away. We need to recognize and celebrate our collective power to build ourselves up. This is Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell. You're listening to KBOO Portland. And today at KBOO, we're having a pledge drive, and we're going to spend 15 minutes talking to you and giving you the phone number and trying to get you to get a hoodie and not. We're not going to do that. I'm just kidding. Today, we're not going to do that. Now, I actually enjoy doing that. We usually don't take 15 minutes at a time, but we're trying something different right now. We're trying a Kickstarter. You can go to kickstarter.com, use the search bar, you will find KBOO, and there we are raising money. And it's an interesting way that we're doing it. It's an all or nothing thing. Everyone contributes in, we bust 20,000 on that goal, or everyone gets their money back. And we haven't done it that way before, so it'll be interesting to see how that works. And if you support radio, if you want to, and I believe the catchphrase is, if you want to build a city of media makers through KBOO, then pull up kickstarter.com and look it up. The other way you can find it, even easier, just pull up KBOO, kbo.fm, and there's a, I think what you call a splash page on front, and you can find it that way. And you can give us a little bit of your money. And you can guarantee that you're part of a successful effort, because if it's not successful, you get the money back. But if you pledge your amount, I would like to say, if you support community radio, once you get on there and pledge us $100 or whatever you feel is right, do that right now, please, while I'm talking. It's easy enough. Just pull it up on your computer, open up a tab, kboo.fm, open up Kickstarter, and do that. Now, again, we are facing facing an administration, the Trump administration in Washington, that has little to show for itself, which reminds me of the Bush administration of 2000. 2001, there is talk of renewed war against Afghanistan, Syria, and even Iran, but the big question is North Korea. And Americans have been trained to dislike and suspect North Korea. But really, there's little support for a mounting an enormous war against Korea among the voters. So it is that I'm very interested to hear the phrase from President Trump's mouth. And here's the quote. I would love to be able to bring back our country in a great form of unity without a major event. Very tough to do. I'd like to do it without a major event, because that major event is usually a bad thing. Unity is what I'm really striving for, to bring the country together, end quote. His phrasing is interesting here. He says he would like to unify the country without a major event. But of course, the way he speaks, he brings up what he really means to say, and then he lies about it. In other words, he brings up ideas. he launches them, he manipulates. So he's implying that he has the option to unify the country with a major event. This is Trump speaking, a man known for his mendacity, so there's no reason to take the phrase literally. It should instead be taken as a threat, as when a mobster notes that your new car is very nice and shiny and it would be a shame if something happened to it. This is the scenario of the new Pearl Harbor he's referring to. A 9/11 explosion and anthrax scare that would terrify the nation and its leadership into accepting absolutely anything, including an unread Patriot Act fascistization campaign. Here's another hint of an upcoming false flag stunt uttered during the State of the Union address. And it was this phrase, quote, "I call on the Congress to empower every cabinet secretary with the authority to remove federal employees who undermine the public trust or fail the American people." That's a paraphrase. It's code for "I call on Congress to empower a complete purge of all employees in the government who are not pro-Trump." Although it's unlikely he could get that through Congress today, he could easily include it in absolutely any legislation that would be considered within 72 hours of any false flag or operation that resulted in bombing North Korea. As a matter of fact, bombing North Korea, for example, under the speciously misnamed Bloody Nose campaign, would produce enough terror to implement that hoped-for American unity without any separate stunt. What it would really implement is the shock doctrine that Naomi Klein warned you about. Trump doesn't want the sort of unity that comes out of collective purpose that I was talking about at the top of the hour. He doesn't want general goodwill. He wants the sort of goose-stepping uniformity that is forged out of fear, terror, deprivation, and the emergence of a bullying class. He wants fascism. He wants war. That war could easily be extended to a tasty appropriation of the oil fields of Venezuela, as they could be made out to the MAGA classes as part of an imaginary North Korean axis, and the same anti-logic would work against Cuba. So Trump could be moving towards a world war with his massive multi-billion-dollar Korean war games, which are firing up now, and with his Kim Jong-un-style military parade. It's up to us to stop him. Number to call with your comments and questions is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I'll take a caller now.
Yeah, anyone in your, among your listeners, I'm wondering if they have can remember the food commodities program.
Food commodities program.
Yeah, the before food stamps, several decades before food stamps, food relief was given to poor people in the form of bulk food, peas, lentils, rice, powdered eggs, powdered milk.
That does sound familiar, and I actually ate some Reagan cheese myself back when.
No, this was even before that. We're going back to the 60s, the 50s, way back. And that's the way it was done, and the stuff was, just plain packaged, nothing interesting at all, but so what. I think that economists would say this, if you're talking about going back to something like that, it's going to receive extraordinary pushback from the retail food industry, which benefits greatly from the food stamps program.
Well, I should think so, yeah, including, as I mentioned before, Walmart. A great proportion of their profits is coming in before the 19th of the month when people run out of their food stamps, including their own employees.
Absolutely, and if they get this this commodities program was basically to take surplus agricultural produce off, that basically couldn't be sold. It was overproduction. And putting it in this program, and that's the way it was delivered. But nowadays, I think that there's just too much money in the food stamps program. It won't succeed. It will get too much pushback. It just won't happen. And thanks for commenting on the war and the false flags. Let's hope we don't get another one. And hopefully there's not too much deep state pressure on the POTUS to do one.
Okay, well, thank you for your comments. I would like to respond that if you know anyone who's actually getting food stamps, it's hard to imagine that there is too much money being spent on food stamps. But we all have our opinion. And the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now I want to talk about something different and kind of strange, except that it's not really different and not really strange. And that's the launch of the triple rocket last week. Do you remember that Elon Musk, the Tesla billionaire, and SpaceX launched their Falcon Heavy rocket last week. And it was interesting to watch for a number of reasons. One, that it was huge and made quite a show, but also there were landing pads, excuse me, for the first time in history, not launch pads, but landing pads at the Space Center there at Cape Canaveral. And his two of his rockets, two of the triple rocket, managed to land almost simultaneously. Pardon my phlegm. And it was quite something to see. And it's significant because that will save a great deal of money. The triple rocket Falcon Heavy launched into orbit around the sun, carrying Musk's cherry red Tesla Roadster as a test load. The SpaceX rocket is also carrying a radiation-hardened data center with information about human civilization into interplanetary space. The payload will now oscillate in an elliptical orbit between Mars and Earth for hundreds of millions of years. The launch was watched carefully by engineers from California to Beijing as the SpaceX launch system recycles its boosters, and thus costs about a tenth as much as NASA rockets of similar capacity. In the case of the first Falcon Heavy launch, two rockets returned successfully and spectacularly to landing pads at Cape Canaveral, but the third and center rocket smashed into the sea. So he's getting there, but it's not perfect yet. Some publications have been calling the two outside rockets solid-fuel boosters, but they are not significantly. All of SpaceX technology is liquid fuel, and that's a good thing for the ozone layer, which is not as in good shape as we had heard recently. And I'm referring to that because the space shuttle's solid fuel boosters used to tear up the ozone layer at 300 million tons per launch. NASA is working on an even larger rocket for its lunar and Mars programs, but it is not scheduled to launch for many years. SpaceX will now seek contracts from NASA and other organizations to raise money with its new large capacity rocket. So here's part of why this is significant. The Chinese Space Agency, meanwhile, is working on nuclear-powered rockets, which it anticipates will boost China past the U.S. space colonizing program within decades. The Chinese atomic program will allow mining of asteroids on a cost-effective basis. The South China Morning Post reports that a new nuclear fleet of reusable hybrid power spacecraft will be ready for regular large-scale interplanetary flights and will carry out commercial exploration by the mid-2040s. This is China talking very differently about interplanetary space, and they're talking about it in terms of actually making money from it. This is significant because in the U.S., since the Moon program, the government has only made gestures at going, say, to Mars or to the asteroid belt. Well, the Chinese apparently intend to do it, and for reason. And you have to ask why they want to do this when it's a cost loser, even with Elon Musk's new rockets, which cost a tenth as much as NASA's rockets. Well, let me go a little further into that. The Chinese atomic program will allow mining of asteroids on a cost-effective basis. They want to have nuclear-powered rockets. The South China Morning Post reports that a new nuclear fleet of reusable hybrid power spacecraft will be ready for regular large-scale interplanetary flights and will be carrying out commercial exploration by the mid-2040s. Atomic-powered rockets were first secretly developed here in the U.S., in California, from the 50s to the 70s, but lost funding due to budgetary and security concerns after the 80s. Notice I did not say that they lost funding due to environmental concerns, which would have been the case if this were not a nation built on competition, exploitation, and genocide. We don't think about those things, especially when we get into groups that have a great deal of power, they have a great deal of status, prestige. I'm talking about the military, I'm talking about the nuclear power industry, and yes, the space industry. We don't think that way because we have this huge flaw in our thinking. We don't think of ourselves as a group of human beings. We think of ourselves as competition, and that all of these genocides that we have committed and all of these unjust wars, all of these invasions don't matter, that there are just little flaws and little mistakes, and it's really okay. And we disproportionately throw our own citizens into jails just for the color of their skin, and it's really okay, it's just a mistake. This is a lie. And I am here to say that it's time is up. The planet is being destroyed by this lie, by this capitalism, and by this whiteness. All of this is affected by whiteness. I urge you to consider this. Musk's SpaceX company has reportedly shown interest in nuclear rocket technology, and a nuclear second stage for the NASA Space Launch System is being developed at the Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama. But as I said, this comes in the context of the U.S. space program, which is more or less a toy. The Chinese are serious. Now, this is odd news to relate, but a closer examination reveals an even stranger set of facts. There are some 30 nuclear reactors orbiting the Earth at this time, most from the Cold War era, and most but not all of them from the former Soviet Union. When they fall, as they occasionally do, they dust the entire planet with radioactive plutonium, and you have some in you right now from one of those satellites. It's a very tiny amount, but it only takes a very tiny amount to make a cancer from an alpha radiation emitter. These atomic rockets have at least, at the very minimum, have twice the power of chemical rockets. This is why the Chinese are so interested in them. The gestalt that I get from the Chinese publications is that the nuclear rockets that they intend to use will launch from the ground using the atomic reactor engines rather than starting them from second phase in orbit. Remember, this is set for 8 years from today. This is coming right up. A failure of one of these nuclear rockets during launch would be a worldwide disaster. Worse, the talk about mining asteroids on a commercially viable basis probably implies that they intend to build Project Orion-style nuclear bomb-fueled interplanetary rockets at some point. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but actually these also were developed in the California desert. They consist basically of gigantic pistons, incredible as it may seem, which shoot tiny atomic bombs out a hole in the middle, accept the blast on a plate. The piston then takes most of the blast and damps it so that the spacecraft can move at substantial fractions of the speed of light. This is something that cannot be built in the Earth's atmosphere for environmental reasons, but it is something that I can see the Chinese building in space once they get rolling with commercially viable atomic planetary exploration. The reason being, there will be no one to stop them. And historically, when do these things happen? When do these crazy things happen? When there's no one to stop them. When someone has the power and the desire and there's nothing in their way. The power and glory of an Orion-style interplanetary atomic fleet would indeed bring in an era of Chinese rule over all civilization, and the technology for it is here today, as I pointed out today, earlier designed by U.S. scientists in the 60s. I bring all this up because there is no end to the weirdness and the savagery of whiteness, of alienation, consumer alienation, of the sickness that we experience within our own minds and bodies as Americans. It will just get crazier until we have revolution, and I am here to call for revolution. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. We may have someone on the line there, or it may have blinked. I'll just check with the engineer, okay? The lines are open now. You can call in if you like, 503-231-8187, and the person just called in can call back if you like. We did not mean to hang up on you. Now, speaking of nuclear tomfoolery, the U.S. Nuclear Posture Review calls for a massive investment in rebuilding America's nuclear arsenal at a price tag of $1.2 trillion. This is from thebulletin.org, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, in a commentary by Rachel Bronson. And before I get into it, I want to say that although we don't like to think of it this way, the momentum for rebuilding the nuclear arsenal comes from none less than Nobel Prize winner President Obama, who, despite his efforts and words of years previous, decided to go ahead with sprucing up the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Now, continuing with the article from the bulletin.org, the Defense Department tried to soften the financial blow of $1.2 trillion by pointing out that its proposals amount to a mere 6.4% of overall defense spending, less than the 13.4% spent during 1984, and the 24.9% spent in 1964, what the NPR, the National Policy Review, fails to highlight, is that such spending is not only significantly higher than what the U.S. has spent since the end of the Cold War, but considerably more than the Congressional Budget Office thinks the country can afford. In a report issued in October, the Congressional Budget Office was crystal clear that the current nuclear plans, quote, would have to compete with all other defense priorities for funding, end quote, and would require the Trump administration to make hard decisions about allocating defense dollars. I want to comment also that it's hard to even talk about this sort of thing in a rational way, because I just repeated the phrase defense priorities in a nation that occupies the planet. These are not defense priorities. These are aggression priorities. So let me say that phrase again. The current nuclear plans would have to compete with all other aggression priorities for funding. That's not what they say, but that is what is actually rational. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. And I've been talking about whiteness and the way it works out in our cyber atomic age, and what the launch of the triple Falcon Heavy rocket means. At 9:30 here on KBOO, you're going to be listening to Fight the Empire. Parafoggering will welcome Professor Patrick Bond, who has a new article of The Changing Wealth of Nations, highlighting the systematic looting of African nations by the World Bank. This falls in with the theme here, with the conceit, looting. At 10, Eric Cascadia headlines interviews and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Between the Covers looks back to an archival interview with the late Portland author Ursula K. Le Guin. I'll be looking forward to that. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures talks to animator Gail Noonan, who has short films. And her short films celebrate human relations around the world. The KBOO Kickstarter is live. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter and help KBOO build a city of media makers. That's our little theme there. Build a city of media makers. And when we say a city of media makers, we mean us. That's kboo.fm/Kickstarter. And if that's too much, remember, just pull it up and you'll see the splash page. Pull up kboo.fm. And now's the time to do it. I encourage you to help us to raise money. Let me ask you, where have you heard this kind of attitude? Where have you heard this kind of gestalt? Where have you heard any talk at all about the trillions that are to be spent on new and improved nuclear weaponry? You hear about this sort of thing on KBOO. You hear about mass incarceration. You get the information that allows you to build community, to allows you to have certainty and knowledge in your own gestalt of what the world is. And you're able to bring forward your own political power from the knowledge that we provide. This is why we do it. And so I urge you to support KBOO, to support KBOO right now. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. That's deadly. Don't fall into the buzz that consumer society will throw you into. Don't fall for the alienation. You are part of us. Be part of the KBOO nation, not alienation. Pull up kboo.fm right now. And just to wind up, I was talking about the nuclear policy review. It's written as if these choices will be made in an unconstrained resource environment. Given that fantasy, it's surprising the aggression department didn't ask for even more unwarranted spending. I'm just going to change some words in this. Rachel Bronson writes, there are some real howlers in this document. The administration lowers the threshold for which nuclear weapons can be used and argues for fielding smaller yield, more usable nuclear weapons. The nuclear weapons triad of sea, air, and land-based weapons remains at the center of the U.S. force posture, even though strategic giants such as former Defense Secretary William Perry, and former U.S. Senator Sam Nunn have raised questions about its continued relevance. Nuclear testing is back on the table if it's necessary for the advancement of the U.S. nuclear arsenal. And speaking for myself, I was at one of the last nuclear tests, an ugly thing held out in the Nevada desert, which is still contaminated from nuclear testing. They hold them underground. Sometimes they burst through the ground, and that is one dead landscape. That is a very fractured, seismically active landscape, and we know because of Oklahoma and fracking just what can happen over the long term and even the short term by setting off explosions deep underground. It's not safe. It's precisely because the United States is dominant in the conventional realm, including cybersecurity, that others are seeking to compensate in other sectors. Or in other words, she's saying, this is why the North Koreans are so hot on nuclear weapons. They realize they can't compete. They don't have the money. They don't have anything like the money. They're not even close. So nuclear weapons are a way of saying, back off, man, or you'll pay the price. And to bring it all together, in short, we don't need a war with North Korea. It would be wrong. It would be cowardly. It would be counterproductive. It would be bloody. It would be radioactive, and it must not happen. So you've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Again, pull up KBOO.fm and click on that Kickstarter and join us and become a member. Support your community-supported radio station. And you've been listening to KBOO.fm. KBOO 90.7 FM on the transmitter and via the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
Outpolds open meeting. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Radio trains media makers. We believe community resilience happens when citizens know how to make their own media. For the last 50 years, KBOO has trained thousands of citizen journalists to report on what goes on in the streets of Portland and far beyond. We know that with our expertise and your support, we can keep this city activated and aware through radio. Invest in Portland's future media makers and join KBOO on Kickstarter today.
Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Donate to the campaign and share it with your friends. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
Well, good morning.